Quincy Grove, we felt that God, even before we left, I felt a tug for that city of Ashburton where the Groves are working. And they have a children's ministry there in their church, and they get to go into the schools and do a Bibles in Schools program. So they're able to present the gospel to the children in the public school, but it's very, they're scrutinized. They're watched very closely, and the teachers listen very closely to what's being said, because there's certain things that we cannot say in those schools. So they have to be very careful with how they present the gospel to those children. But when we got back from our survey trip last year, we began to pray about where God would have us to serve there in New Zealand. We knew that that's where he wanted us. And we felt comfortable with everybody that we met, but I really felt like the Lord was leading us. And I hate to use the word felt, but for the lack of a better word, just in my heart, I knew that Ashburton was where God wanted us. But we prayed about it, and I began to pray specifically for that ministry there. And Jenny and I came together, and we both felt that that's what God would have us to do and where he would have us to serve. So that being said, I emailed Brother Grove, and I said, hey, brother. Now, we didn't know much about their children's ministry in their church. We weren't able to attend one of their services, so we didn't really know much about that other than we did do a Wednesday night service, but we didn't know to what extent their children's ministry was. So when I told him that the Lord had led us to their church and that we felt that he wanted us to work with them, he was excited about that, and he said, we don't have anybody here that we feel we can put into that position, so we're looking forward to having y'all here, and we'll plug y'all in when you get here for that. So we'll be working in their children's ministry, along with the other things there that involve a church, and so we're excited about being there. I told you our text tonight was in Jeremiah 17:7, and it is, but I'd like to draw your attention real quickly, briefly, to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to look at just a couple of verses there real quickly. I'm going to read those to you. And out of respect for God's word, would you mind standing with me while we read the first two verses of Romans chapter 10? And I'm telling you, our heart is burdened for New Zealand tonight. I'll give you some more information about that as we go through the message tonight, what God has laid on my heart. Romans chapter 10 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I would like to change one word in verse 1 to say this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for New Zealand is that they might be saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love to us. I thank you for this opportunity to stand and proclaim your word and to share our burden that you've laid on our heart. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit tonight. Help me to say only what you'd have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. It's good to be in God's house. Cannot think of any place that I would rather be than right here with you tonight. And I said the other day, I was thinking about this, and I've heard other preachers say it. I would not rather do anything but preach the good news of the gospel of Christ. And if I can die while doing it, I can't think of a better way to go than preaching God's word. I want to thank you, Pastor, again for letting us stand in your pulpit. It's a privilege I don't take lightly. Jeremiah 17:7, once again, says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. When we talk about trusting the Lord, a couple of questions come to my mind. And first of all, what does it mean? What does it mean to trust the Lord? What does it mean when we say you should trust the Lord? Let me ask you this. Have you ever told somebody something in confidence? You told a secret to somebody, and that secret got back to you. Maybe you were talking about a situation you had with somebody, or maybe there was somebody that you knew mutually, and you were talking to a person that you knew you could talk to in confidence, but for some reason what you said about so-and-so got back to you because the person you told let you down. The person you told broke that confidence and went and told somebody else, and somehow it got back to you. And that kind of situation happens, and when it does, it can destroy friendships, it can destroy relationships, it can destroy the confidence that you placed in others, as well as confidence that may have been placed in you. One thing that we need to understand is when we place our trust in the Lord, when we place our confidence in Him, He never lets us down. We can tell Him anything, and we can talk about anybody we want to the Lord, and He's not going to tell Him what we said. Isn't that nice? I can talk about my wife to God. She's never going to know about it. I only would have good things to say about her. Only good things. She's been my helpmeet. She's been a helper to me. I told her the other day that she is our chief financial officer. She handles all the finances, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful for that. But you know, when we place our trust in people, we're putting a lot of confidence in somebody to, you know, and they let us down. People let us down. But we know that in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." We know that Jesus is our friend, and He is going to stick with us. No matter what happens, He's going to be with us. He's going to stay by our side. You know, and I don't know if you've ever had a friend that everything you did, somehow, y'all got in trouble. But only one of you got blamed for that trouble. The other guy gets off scot-free like nothing ever happened, and you're the one that got in trouble for it, and maybe you got grounded, or maybe you had your hide got tanned, I don't know. But one way or the other, you find yourself in a situation where friends, when you get in trouble, they flee from us. They flee. But we know that the Lord, whenever we find ourselves in a situation that we can't get out of, He's right there to help us. As it says in Isaiah 41:13, which is a verse that Jenny and I found while we were at BIMI for candidate school in June, we had to do a doctrines test first thing in the morning. It was about, about 9 o'clock in the morning. We had this doctrines test. And it's 45 questions, and we have about 10 minutes to answer these true, false, and multiple choice questions. And so in that 15 minutes, we got it done. We finished it. And there was, I think, 20 or 30 missionary families in the room with us that morning. And one by one, they were called into the review board, just a few people in a room that we're going to question the missionary about what they believe and why they believe it and go over some of the things that were on that test. And Miss Jenny and I waited until about 4 o'clock that afternoon before they finally called us in. And so, of course, there's a matter of stress and frustration that why haven't they called us? What's going on? Why are we last? But I believe that it was the Lord teaching us that He's going to help us. And Isaiah 41:13 is a verse that we found. It says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." We have a friend who is always there with us. You know, as a father or as a mother, when you're going to guide your child across the street, or when you want to take your child somewhere and you want them to get there safely, maybe it's something that they can't cross themselves, and what do? You reach down and you hold their hand, and maybe you pick them up and carry them safely from where they are to where they need to be. How much more does our Heavenly Father, when He reaches down His hand to take ours, to guide us where we're going to go, to help us? And He says, "I will help thee." We have a friend who's always there with us. You know, the people in New Zealand don't understand that. There are billboards across the country that say, "Good without God." Over 1 million Kiwis are. There probably is no God. They're being taught that they have a hopeless existence, that, you know, life as it is right now is hopeless. And after this, there's no hope for anything better. So if my life is so terrible right now, it's not going to be any better when I die. So I may as well just call it quits. So by teaching the people that there's no hope after this, that there's no God, there's nothing for them to hope in, to trust in, they take their lives. For the fourth year in a row, suicide has reached its highest level. Domestic violence is on the rise. They need the hope of the gospel, and that's what we believe God has called us to take to the people of New Zealand, is the hope of the gospel. You know, not only when we trust in the Lord, we place our confidence in Him, but we can also rest in His promises. You know, to trust in the Lord means that we can fully rest on all of His promises. And unlike
Us frail humans, we constantly break promises. Our Lord has never broken a promise. He never will. He never has. He keeps every promise that he makes. And when we look to God's word and we seek out the promises to us as believers, we can rest assured that that he's going to keep his promises to us. In a world of sin, broken by sin, empty words, broken promises, we can run to Christ. And we can place our trust in him knowing that he's going to keep that promise. You know, we look at the promise, and I agree with the pastor. I don't believe that Jesus was born in December 24th or December 25th. But it's the time that we celebrate that. But we know that God kept his promise when he said Jesus would be born. And when we think about that, that is a great hope to us. We see how the world first loved Jesus, then they hated him, and then they killed him. And then he promised that after 3 days, what was he going to do? He said, I will rise again. And he did. He kept his promise to us. And he promises that we can have eternal life. And once again, that is the promise that we're going to take to the people of New Zealand. They need to know that they can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 and 9, Peter is refuting the people of that time that Jesus wasn't coming back. They were saying that he wasn't going to come back. And it says here, and saying, and you could turn there if you'd like, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 and verse 9, says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, God has never broken a promise. He's coming back, and he wants all of us to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't want anybody. He's not willing that any should perish. I think we have a pretty good task ahead of us that we still need to complete, and that is to see 7 billion people come to know the Lord. Well over 7 billion. I don't know what the statistic is on those who know the Lord and those who don't, out of that 7 billion plus people. But I do know that we have a task ahead of us that needs to be completed. You know, there are a lot of benefits to trusting. I don't think that we could exhaust all the benefits that we have when it comes to putting our trust in the Lord. When it comes to trusting him for everything, we could not exhaust everything that we are blessed with, all the benefits of it. But we are blessed in abundance. We know that. We know that there's abundant satisfaction to those who make Christ their confidence. There are those who live by faith concerning his promises regarding the forgiveness of sin and salvation, and abundant satisfaction to those who place their trust in Jesus Christ and God alone. To those who repent of their sin and accept the finished work of Christ on the cross. Did you hear that? The finished work of Christ. When Christ died, he didn't say, hey, there's one more thing left to do. Hey, you've still got some things. There was no fine print. He said, it is finished. We're going to tell the people of New Zealand, look, it is finished. You don't have to do anything except trust Christ. There's no amount of good works that we can do to get to heaven. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Have you ever eaten a meal? Pastor and I had dinner tonight over at Mr. Verity's. Is that what it's called? All right. And I had a steak salad. And it was good. I didn't get to finish all of it, but it was delicious. And I wanted to sit there and I wanted to finish it. But have you ever had a meal that was just so good you just wanted to go back and back and back for more and more and more? Of course. My wife is a really good cook. She's stellar when it comes to cooking. And I've missed her home-cooked meals since we've been on deputation. So for the last, I don't know, almost 12 or 13 weeks, we've been eating everybody else's food, and it's been great. But I miss my wife's cooking. She made something early on in our marriage that we both looked at and thought, there's no way we're going to eat that. And it was called, we call it ramen noodle casserole. It's cheap and easy to make. But it is one of our favorites. It's topped with mozzarella cheese. It's got ramen noodles and ground beef and peppers and tomatoes and pepperoni and I don't know what else, but it's good. And it's one of the few dishes that I will continue to go back until it's almost gone or it is gone. The Bible tells us that we should taste and see that the Lord is good. And when we have a cold drink of water on a hot day, it cools us off and we're able to continue working. It refreshes our spirit. And when we have a warm drink on a cold winter day like today, you know, that warmth warms us through and we can continue to move and we can continue to go on about our daily business. The Bible tells us that we should so enjoy the Word of God that we'd savor it, or that we would let God's goodness be rolled under our tongues as we would a sweet morsel. We must see that God is a beautiful being. To taste and see God's goodness is to take notice of it. We want the people of New Zealand to see that God is good. And if we can show that to them through our lives and through our testimony, that's what we want them to see, is that God is good. And God has been so good to us since we've been on deputation. We haven't lacked for a thing. God is good. We must be so convinced of His goodness that we are encouraged by it in the most difficult of times as well as the good times. We must take comfort in it and take comfort that God is good and that He makes all that trust in Him to be blessed. Not only are we blessed with abundance, but we're also protected. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, it says, "The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." We look here at how King David views his incredible interest in God and the relationship that they have with one another. David submits to us that God is his rock, and the one that he can cleave to, the one that we can cleave to for safety and for protection at all times. God is our rock. He is our strength, and He is our power. The horn of salvation would indicate that God is our strength and our power. He is the only one that we can or should cling to put all of our hope in all times of life, not just the times of trouble. Listen, it's easy for us to go alone and to try to go it on our own when things are easy. And we do it. We're human. I do it. When things are going well, it's easy to go on my own and kind of treat God like a solar cell. You know, hey, you've empowered me this far. I'm gonna keep going. Rather than trusting in Him and then end up falling flat on my face in failure. We shouldn't treat the goodness of God like that. We can't store up God's power for us to use when we go it on our own. We should cling to Him at all times. It's easy to go on our own, and then when we stray from the rock and the enemy begins to pursue, we begin to find that the times of life become difficult. We have to run back to that rock. How far must we go? How far must we stray before we realize we need to get back? Listen, David, when he was running from Saul, he frequently hid himself in the rocks and caves, but he recognized that God was his chief hiding place. He recognized that God was his shelter, his tower, his stronghold, which cannot be battered or torn down. And that is one of the testimonies that we're going to have for the people in New Zealand, is that they can run to the Lord, they can run to the God that they don't believe exists, and they can find peace and safety and shelter with Him. The protection afforded by us behind the walls of safety when we're sheltered in God as our tower cannot be breached or undermined. Listen, God's Word is replete with times where men and women of the Bible, men and women in those times, when times were tough, they placed their trust in God to get them through those times that were extremely difficult. We talk about David trusting in God for safety and refuge, one that he could run to for safety. But think about Jonathan and his armor bearer when they defeated the Philistine garrison. They didn't do it because they were mighty men. That was helpful. But that's not how they were able to defeat that garrison. They trusted the Lord. They sought Him before they even went up. And they, because they trusted in God, God gave them the victory over that Philistine garrison. And then we think about the men that David entrusted with his safety. What did they do? They went back and they broke through the enemy lines just to get him a drink of water. Listen, that took courage, but it wasn't their courage. It wasn't their ability that got them to that well. It was because they trusted in God to be able to give them the victory. Listen, we limit God by holding back the one thing He wants from us, and that is our complete trust. Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, the people in New Zealand, a lot of times they say, well, what hope is there in Christ? What hope is there in this life that I have? We have the answer. You see, Christ helps us and he assists us. Have you ever broken a bone? I have. I've broken a couple. I broke my collarbone playing football. Broke my little finger falling down over a wall about 20 feet. Broke my left arm at the same time. So I've broken a couple bones. I had knee surgery a few years ago. And when I broke those bones and when I had that knee surgery, they gave me a cast. Because my leg, or not a cast, but they gave me crutches because my leg wasn't strong enough to hold my weight. So I had to use crutches. If one of us breaks a leg, are we going to walk on it? I don't think so. And the question is, well, why not? Why can't I walk on my leg? Well, because it's broken. It's broken. In Psalm 32:7, it says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Psalm 119:114 says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. There is great hope for those who always give themselves to God and his guidance and rest and relax in his love in the most unquiet and most unsettling of times. Even when times are tough, we have hope that God is going to help us. He is going to assist us. Some might say, well, preacher, I've done a pretty good job getting to my point in my career. I've done a pretty good job getting to this point in my life. I'm a self-made man. Listen, there are no self-made men. God is who made each of us. God made that man and gave him the ability to do what he's done to get to where he is right now. I have to ask you, when times of trouble are upon you, when times of sadness or sorrow, financial difficulty rise up, in whom do you trust? Where do you turn? In whom do you trust? I've heard, and maybe you've heard, trusting in God or trusting in a higher power or religion is just a crutch. Listen, why? If you break your leg, we've already determined you're not going to walk on it. You're going to have a cast and crutches because it's broken, and you cannot walk on a broken leg. You'd probably fall if you tried. So why then should I or anybody try to walk through life broken by sin without God? If God is my crutch, then I am happy to lean on him. Listen, this world has been broken by sin. The people of New Zealand's lives have been broken by sin. They have been taught that God can't help them because he does not exist. But we have hope that he does, and we can show them that he does. Each of our lives are broken, but God, who is faithful to his word, says that if we trust in him, if we place our trust and our faith in him, we are blessed. We should hope and trust in Christ because that hope endures forever. Listen, through our research about New Zealand, we discovered very few independent Baptist churches. We drove from Auckland to Whangarei, which is on the north side of the North Island, north part of the North Island, and we didn't see hardly any independent Baptist churches on that journey. It's about a 2.5-hour trip from Auckland to Whangarei. In Whangarei, there's one independent Baptist church. 70,000 people live in that city, and one independent Baptist church. Auckland has right at about 400,000 people, and there's four independent Baptist churches that we know of in Auckland. In Ashburton, where we're going to be working, what we know of is that there's one independent Baptist church. There are other independent Baptist churches around, but they're not many, and they're hard to find. Some of the churches there, they were shut down and turned into bars and nightclubs. The city, back in 2011, when the earthquake struck, destroyed a lot of buildings and some of the churches. The city is refusing, or they've been dragging their feet on getting the permits together or approving permits to let those churches reopen, and so they just haven't reopened. And the people are almost to the point of unwilling to fight. They've lost their hope. We want to go and show them that they do have hope in Christ. They can have the hope that we have. And again, the billboards that say good without God, over 1 million Kiwis are, there probably is no God. They need to know that we have a loving God who exists to help them. 2 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." We have the hope of eternal life, and we have to share that hope with the people of New Zealand. Otherwise, they're going to continue to take their own lives. They're going to continue to live a life apart from Christ and end up in a devil's hell. Our hope must become their hope, and our hope is that Jesus is going to return for us one day and that we're going to live with him forever. Amen? What is our hope? That we will be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes for us. As it says in 2 Thessalonians, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" And finally, we only have one way to obtain that hope. God's word tells us that there is only one way to obtain this hope. John 14:6 says, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is only one way to heaven. I don't like to assume that everybody that I'm speaking to is saved. I trust that everyone here is saved, but I don't know. Only God knows your heart. But if you cannot look back on a time in your life when you recognize that you were a sinner on your way to hell, if you cannot look back on a time where you made it a personal decision to accept Christ as your Savior, and it is a personal decision, the pastor cannot get saved for you, I can't get saved for you, you cannot get saved for somebody else, it is personal. If you think you can do enough good to get to heaven, the question is, how much good do you have to do to get there? How do you know when you've done enough? There's no scale to show us when we've done enough good. My friends, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's no benefit to placing trust in ourselves to get to heaven, to live a life worthy of heaven. We cannot do enough good to get there on our own. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." We are not and cannot ever do enough good to get to heaven on our own. The Bible says it, not me. So if you cannot look back on a time in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior, made it a personal decision, I would encourage you tonight to make sure that you get that right. And I would ask that you pray for us as we endeavor to get to New Zealand, that we can take the good news to them, the gospel, and show them that God is faithful and he is someone that they can place their trust in and they have the hope of eternal life one day.
Challenged tonight to reach a lost and dying world. I pray that your hearts have been touched and moved to do that. We got people that are in our families that are lost and friends, people we work with, all that need to hear the gospel. We need to pray that God would grant us the boldness to be able to speak up for the Lord and share the truth that we have. Hey, we're on our way to heaven. We know for sure. Yet they don't. They don't know for sure. And we need to do all we can to help them come to that understanding. Make sure that you visit the table in the back, shake their hands, thank them for coming, tell them you're going to pray for them, get a card from them, and just genuinely then go and pray for them that God would bless them and help them get to the field as soon as possible. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for Hoffman's and their burden for New Zealand. Lord, I pray that you'd help them get down the road, help them to garner their support, Lord, that they need to get to the field as soon as possible, Lord. Lord, just bless them during their period of deputation. Lord, that every church they go to, that they would bless and be a blessing. use them in a great way for your glory and for your honor. Thank you for our time together. Bless us as we dismiss, Lord, and go our separate ways. Bring us back again safely on Sunday, that again we might rejoice in your presence. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.